All right, Galatians chapter 3, and let's pray. Praise the Lord. Hey, we're glad to have our youth pastor in our midst today. Zach Schneider is not working today, and we're so pleased for that. And Zach has recently taken up the ball to be the tip of the spear, if you will, for our youth department. Brother Ben and his wife Audrey are helping with the oversight of the youth and the college age young people. I mean, they're doing a great work. Could you give them both a big applause for what they're doing in the kingdom? Thank you, Lord. So we bless them. Father, we thank you today that you are here in our midst. You are moving. We thank you for the Spirit of Jesus, the Anointed One, to bring healing to our bodies, rest for our souls, relief from every burden. Lord, open our ears and our eyes right now into the Word of God as we look into it. In Jesus' name, change us. Amen. Amen. Galatians 3. Now, let me say this. We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights about the importance of understanding our Jewish roots. You know, when you and I got saved, we're brought up to speed up to the book of Acts in the Bible. But how many of you know there's a whole lot written before the book of Acts? There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Malachi, and everything backwards, right? All the way to Genesis. It's becoming to us. In fact, it's necessary for you to appreciate the fullness of your salvation. I know it takes time. I know it takes discipline. I know it takes a whole lot of study, but to wrap your brain around where you came from. You have Jewish roots. This Jesus is not a Gentile Messiah. He was a Jewish Messiah, and he was the fulfillment of the promises to the patriarchs. You say, who's the patriarchs? Okay, you better get in class. You're one of my targets. You know, the patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the very beginnings of Christianity, amen? So it's important for you to understand your roots. And as I said, it'll take diligence on your part. It'll take study. I've been studying this book for years. I still don't understand half of the Old Testament, but I'm working on it, okay? And just understand, we're all in the same boat. It's complex, amen? It was a very complex system of ritual set up for the Jews, this sacrifice system, but it all pointed to one man, and his name is Jesus. So every time you study the Old Testament, your understanding of Jesus will be made rich, amen? It will grow in your appreciation for what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, we all got saved with a very simple gospel. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth, died on a cross for your sins. He rose the third day. If you believe on him, you'll be saved. I mean, doesn't take a Gentile much more than that to get saved. Amen? But there's so much more than that. Amen? He was so much more. And so Galatians 3, the writer starts here, Galatians 3:13. Read it here with me. Christ has redeemed us. Do we have it in King James on the screen? Yeah, let's read it out loud. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I got to tell you, I'm still looking for greater revelation on that last part. So we're going to skip over that for today. The important part for you to know is that Jesus became a curse for you. He has redeemed you from the curse of the law. The curse of the law means this, Deuteronomy 28. If you break these rules, your body will break out in this. You break, it will break. You'll break out. And there's all kinds of things mentioned there. The itch, the botch, the tumors, it goes down the list. It gets pretty bad. By the time you get to the end of Deuteronomy 28, you want to just, hurt yourself. You need some relief. Deuteronomy 28, the curse of the law is extreme. But Jesus, the scripture says here, came and redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does that mean, redeemed? It's a real simple concept. If you've ever watched a movie about the Civil War or slavery in this country, you've seen people that stood up on an auction block. Human trafficking is our modern term for it, amen, where people are sold into slavery. You and I were sold into slavery to sin and to the devil, amen. We were sold by our ancestor, Adam. He did the selling. So you know who to visit first when you get to heaven, right? Let's go have a talk with Adam. Come on, Tommy the Knuckle. Let's go talk to Adam. Now, we're all going to be forgiven and loving up there. Not really. But Adam sold us. He sold the human race by his choices into sin. Amen? But redeemed means you've been bought off the auction block. Listen, you are owned by God in three ways. Number one, because he created you. The maker of a thing owns the thing, does he not? Number two, he preserves you. Before you got saved, for all the years you were alive on earth, God was preserving your life naturally, keeping you from being killed until you could say yes to Jesus one day. So by right of creation, by right of preservation, and thirdly, by redemption. He owns you on all three counts. He created you. He's been preserving you till you could have the good sense to say yes to Jesus. And thirdly, he redeemed you. He bought you off the auction block. Amen. And in buying you, he bought all the trouble that you brought with you, including the tumors, the itch, and the botch. He brought it all. When Jesus got you, he got your sicknesses. He said, I'll take it all and I'll exchange it with divine health. Hallelujah. Jesus bought you from the auction block straddled with sickness to give you his health. Amen. Jesus didn't have a sniffle one. Didn't sound at all like your pastor. The 33 years he walked this earth, he had healing and health in his body 24/7. In dealing with our sin, he remedied the penalty of sin. Did he not? Because sickness is the penalty of sin. Which is greater, the sickness or the sin? Which is greater for Jesus to deal with? The sin. In other words, the indictment that got you the penalty, right? Jesus redeemed us from the sin. He redeemed us from the sickness. Amen. He redeemed us from the jail and the jumpsuit, right? He will forgive you and he will heal you. Amen. As Savior, if he will forgive you your sins, which is the greatest thing, how much more will he not heal your body? Amen. If he'll forgive your sins, many people can believe Jesus forgives my sins. You ask a person on the street, why did Jesus die? And they'll say, I'm not sure, but I think it had to do with humanity's sins. They understand that concept. But if you say, do you believe that Jesus will heal your body physically? Most people say, I'm not so sure about that. Are you one of those weird Christians? You know, they kind of step back. But see, sickness follows sin. Amen. Sickness is in the world today because of sin. Now, every time you get sick doesn't mean you sinned.
That's right.
We live in a fallen world. Amen? Herd immunity. It's going around. But Jesus paid the price for the indictment of sin. Therefore, he covers the penalty, which is sickness. Amen? I want you to understand this. Healing is part of a covenant package. If you're taking notes, write that phrase, covenant package. See, God doesn't just want to forgive your sin. He wants to heal your body. As I said, he bought you off the auction block. You are his. And he has the power. Say power. Since he has the power, can he not heal your body when he buys you as his property? Of course he can. And he does. Amen. He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. Listen, God would not be happy to heal a sinner and have them go on down the street and never get saved. Now, he'd be happy that they're feeling better. But see, this covenant we're talking about, forgiveness of sins, healing of our body, it's a package deal. In other words, God wants to bring people to himself. So if you ever minister healing on the streets to a lost person, make sure you give them the opportunity to give their whole life to the one who just healed their body. Amen? He wants to do greater than just heal your body. He wants to forgive your sins, bring you into a covenant relationship. It's like marriage. So-and-so Johnny Sinner, take God to be your, you know, it's like marriage. You're marrying God. And so when we got married to God, we got the whole package. Hey, when you get married in the natural, ladies, don't you get his wallet? Don't you get his credit card? Don't you get his bank account? It's the way it's supposed to work. It's a whole package, amen? When we got born again, we got the covenant package. We got forgiveness of sins. We got healing for our body. I want you to look at a couple examples scripturally. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 14. It's not my cough, but I was coughing, all right? I don't claim it. I didn't sign for that package. Jeremiah 17, 14. I want to give you some examples to marry this concept of forgiveness and healing go together. Jeremiah 17, 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Amen. God says, the writer here says, heal me, save me. Amen. And in fact, the word saved in the New Testament, the Greek word for saved, sozo, S-O-Z-O, everywhere in the New Testament, when you see that word save or saved, it comes from this Greek word sozo, which is a total package word. It means to be preserved from danger. It means to be whole. It means to be in every way perfect. And so the writer here says, save me, I'll be saved. Heal me, I'll be healed. In other words, he understood, Jeremiah understood, God, your intent for your people is a total package. Amen? Say total package. Psalm 103. We read this last week, but it bears repeating. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is verse 1. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Say, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, here's his benefits to you and I. As I said, when you marry somebody, you get benefits. When you join on with a company as an employee, you get benefits. Here's the benefits to us to be married to God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. God is a good God, and he gives us the total package. Look two chapters over in Psalm 105, verse 37. Hallelujah. Psalm 105, 37. He brought them forth also, talking about Israel when they came out of Egypt. Now, brought them forth means what? It means the Exodus. It means the deliverance from Egypt, which is symbolic of what? Salvation. Egypt represents the world, the slavery of sin. Amen. He brought them forth, talking about coming out of Egypt. That's salvation. He brought them forth with what? Silver and gold. What is that? That's divine prosperity. Divine prosperity. See, when you got bought by God, you got rich. You got bought by a rich God, not a poor God. Amen. You heard people say, you know, I'm a king's kid. And that's true in every sense of the word. I'm a king's kid. I didn't get bought. You know, if you were one of these slaves and you were bought by somebody who was nice or somebody who had a terrible temper, everything about your future experience hinged on what kind of owner is now taking me in as his property. Well, God says, you're mine, Israel. I'm calling you out of Egypt. And what did he do? He laden them with silver and gold. Amen. It's a picture of divine prosperity. Look at the rest of the verse. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That's impossible in the natural. 3 million Jews who have been under the lash, under the whip, under the merciless slave driving constantly to build the pyramids of Egypt for 430 years. And you tell me on the day they walked out of Egypt in deliverance, all of a sudden their muscles were renewed. Their ribs, which had been cracked and broken and bruised, all of a sudden they were healed. There was not one feeble man among them. Yes. Out of 3 million, 3 to 5 million is what Bible scholars estimate came out of Egypt. 3 to 5 million people. That'd be like all of Houston saying, we're going to Dallas. The whole town. And by the way, while we're leaving, while we're departing, there's not one feeble one among us. We can walk the whole way and there's nobody limping. There's nobody with corns on their toes. There's nobody with, you know, back trouble, hip trouble. Amen. The whole country was overnight healed by Jehovah Rapha. So he delivered them from Egypt, which means that's a picture of being set free from sin. Amen. Being delivered from slavery. He laden them with silver and gold. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you came from middle class, lower class, or upper class. Even if you came from upper class when you got saved, guess what? You've just been upped. It's like when you go to Wendy's or McDonald's and they say, do you want a biggie size that? I mean, that's kind of an old phrase now. It's kind of getting old. But it's the same idea. You just got biggied. When you got saved, you got biggied. Amen. You got brought into not just, it doesn't matter. If you got born in the natural into a rich family, a silver spoon, as they would call it, you've just been biggied. You've been upgraded. Because when you got bought by Jesus, it's far greater riches than any earthly person, earthly dad could provide for you and your family in the natural. Amen. And guess what? The good news, it's for all of us. Amen. Amen. God doesn't have any favorites. All of you children are favored by the Lord. Amen. You're all meant to be healed, delivered, and prospered in him. Amen. It's a total package. It's a total covenant package. One more verse I want you to see. I know it's kind of an obscure example, but I think it fits the picture. November. We're in November. Numbers. Numbers 12. Numbers 12 and verse 11. Now in this story, Moses had married a woman of a different nationality. And his brother and sister, who are? Very good, students. Aaron and Miriam were Moses' brother and sister. And in Numbers chapter 12, look what it says here in verse 11, because Miriam had started backbiting. She started this little gossip chain about her brother, and Aaron just jumped right in there in the thick of it. And it says here, well, let's back up to verse 9. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, against Miriam and Aaron. And he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Ooh, everybody say, ooh. White as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, his sister, and behold, she was leprous. And he said to Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech you, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly. How many of you know when you speak against the man of God, you've done foolishly? I have eaten that crow too many times in life. Praise the Lord. I've learned my lesson. Don't do it. Doesn't mean God's going to turn you leprous, but it can give you some bad circumstances nonetheless. Look at verse 12. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, Lord, I beseech you. You say, why on earth do we read that? Well, I almost forgot my notes. When Miriam got forgiven, Miriam got healed. Amen. That's the point. It's a total package. Amen. So salvation is forgiveness and healing. Miriam got healed of her leprosy because she was forgiven. Hey, that we took communion today. We sang about it in the song, the blood has changed everything. You start to feel sickness come on your body. You start to see a symptom. One of the most powerful weapons you can whip out on the devil is to say, the blood of Jesus against you. Because in the blood is my forgiveness. In the blood is my declared righteousness. In the blood is the assurance that all my sins have been forgiven. If my sins are forgiven, the enemy has no right to put disease on my body. Amen? No right to put disease on your body. Use the blood. It's a powerful weapon against the evil one. Because if God has forgiven your sins, as he forgave Miriam, he will heal your body. Amen? You've been forgiven. You have been healed. Glory to God. Well, my major point number one in my sermon today, that's all just introductory appetizer parts for you to get you started. And here's my major first point, and that is this: determine to let nothing but the Word of God establish your faith in healing. When it comes to divine healing, don't let human experience, don't let what happened to your mother, your brother, your aunt, your sister, your cousin, your neighbor, don't let anything outside this book define your faith when it comes to divine healing. Don't let human experience. The scripture says in Romans, if you're taking notes, write this scripture down, Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. I heard a great preacher years ago, he said, if they put me in a casket, if I die prematurely of disease, my body will sit up as they're carrying that casket out to the graveyard, Ross, and it will be saying, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. He had so ingrained that scripture in his heart and in his mind. He said, I don't care if my body denies it. I'll be saying it in my heart and in my head. By his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. Do not let anything in the way of human experience outdefine, I should say, what you believe about divine healing, except for this book. Amen. We don't always get it right. You ever prayed for someone and they died? You ever prayed for someone and they got sicker? It's frustrating. But we know what the book says nonetheless. He heals all our diseases. He forgives all our sins. Amen. Don't let anything but the book define your faith when it comes to divine healing. Stand on the Word of God. There's things we don't understand. We'll work through them. Or we'll understand them when we get to glory. Amen. You won't understand everything in this life. But don't give up on your faith because of an experience. In God's Word, we're told what to trust him for. See, this book defines what we have legal right to. It's like reading a will. That's why we call it a testament, right? The Old and New Testament. It is a will written to tell you what's yours. So this is where we go to find what's been given to us. The Holy Spirit, when he authored this book, he made these wonderful flowery comments to the Apostle Peter when Peter logged his letters, and he said this, exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. This book is filled with not just promises, folks. These are exceeding great and precious promises. As I said earlier today, when you're believing God for a breakthrough, always expect the answer will be far greater than the need. Far greater than the need. Why? Because he's a big God and he gives big salvation. Amen. You need healing from pain, he's going to renew that muscle, that bone, that tissue in the process. And he'll give you new organs. Do you believe he can give you new organs between now and the grave? I was sharing with someone yesterday, and we were talking about this concept of you don't have to die with disease in your body. I firmly believe that. I believe that's our covenant promise. You look at examples in the Word of God. Moses had eyesight that never grew dim until 120 years. God took him upon that high mountain, even at the point of his death, and he let him see the promised land afar off. His eyes were like eagle eyes, brother Bob. They were like eagle eyes. And he could see that promised land from afar. That's renewal of your body. And that's under the old covenant. The scripture makes clear in Hebrews, we have a better covenant in Jesus. Amen. If they were renewed in their body under the old covenant, how much more now that we have the reality in Jesus? Look at Exodus. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. This is a great promise for you and I. I hope you'll consider this one of your scripture treasures, if you will. Well, you can build your life on this verse right here. All right, Exodus 23, verse 25. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. And listen to this last part. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Wow, that's so powerful. The number of your days. When you're in covenant with God, he says, I'll bless the food and water. Listen, when you say grace over your food, you better put your faith to it, especially nowadays. I had a great dessert the other day, and I think there was something of a human remnant left in it, if you follow me. They weren't wearing their hairnet that day. So the dessert was great nonetheless, but it just kind of ruined the overall excitement for me. But I'm telling you, when we take a bite, we got to have it blessed. And God said here, I'll bless it. Do you believe in the blessing? Yes. It's supernatural. Amen. It means that food will be nutrientized for your body. Amen. And the germs will be killed so that you won't have disease as a result of eating it. Listen, I believe in the blessing even down to my pets. Now, this is a little aside, but I've been waiting to see this for a couple weeks. My dog got real sick a couple weeks ago, and we'll take her to the vet when we have to, but I just prayed over her. Terry agreed. She applied her faith. I applied my faith, and I'm telling you, God restored that dog. The scripture says in Psalms, he says, your cattle will be blessed. They will not be diminished. So if God takes our care, if he takes our animals into consideration, I believe the blessing is for our animals as well. Amen. So you can apply that, but bless your food. God says here, I'll bless your food. I'll give you healing. Your days I will fulfill. What does that mean? You will finish your race accomplishing what God has designed for you to accomplish. And folks, we need divine healing every step of the way. Amen. As I said, we live in a fallen world. There's disease all around us. There's sickness. How much more do we need to rely upon the divine health that God provides in the covenant so we can fulfill the number of our days? That's a promise from God. You will fulfill the number of your days. I love that. Until you finish your race, that divine healing is yours. Listen, if you're fighting something, you've had something you've been fighting for a long time, and the enemy's tried to put thoughts in your head, you're just going to die from this. I know, I think. So. I mean, I'm human. I feel it too at times. Listen, he'll tell you this stuff like that. And you take this word of promise right here, and you say, no, the number of my days, God will heal me. He'll bless my food and my water. He'll heal my body until I fulfill the number of my days. Amen? You're going to finish your race under this covenant of divine healing. Now, I want to take another side trail. This is just short. I won't take long. But, you know, people say things like, you know, when someone dies or if someone dies and it seems like premature, we go, well, you know, God determines our days. Or, you know, God knows, you know, God kind of sets our life. You know, people say things like, I heard it recently. I don't remember how they worded it. But I get the idea. I used to say the same thing. You know, God knows when your time is up. You ever heard that? It's kind of that idea. God knows when your time is up. Listen, there are actual scriptures that tell us differently. And we need to be people not of human sayings and cliches, but people of this word. Amen. If you want to go better than your neighbor, if you want to go better than your uncle, your aunt, your grandpa, the people that went before you, you better get in the book and find out what it says. And the book tells you things like this. Depart from evil. Fear the Lord. It'll be health to your body. So what does that tell you? If you run from sin, you can set how long you live. You got more to do with it than people have realized. And people out there that don't have God, they're not relying on God anyways. So of course they'd say something like that. Well, you know, talk kind of religious. You know, God knows when our time is up. Listen, you can determine when your time is up. You start running from sin, you'll stretch your days out. There's another verse. That's Proverbs. We're not going to take time to turn there. That's Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. Depart from evil. It'll be health to your body and nourishment to you. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8. Ephesians 6, 3 says, you honor your father and mother, you'll live long on the earth. Listen, you get in a bad way with your parents, you might cut your own life short. And your friends might gather around at your funeral and say, well, you're scratching their head going, I just can't figure out what went wrong. Just don't know why God did that to them. Watch out for the lightning bolts, man. God didn't do it to them. They walked in disobedience to the word of God and their life was cut short. They made the choice. Are you with me? Now, that doesn't mean that everybody dies prematurely, was dishonorable to their parents. Don't run out there and take this. Don't misuse my preaching. But there's promises. The point is, you can take the promises of the book and you can extend your life. Amen. I'm going to take good care of my daddy. He's about 84 years old. Hey, I still got a few more years to honor him. I'm going to make sure. Why? Because the promise is I'll live long on the earth too. I love my dad. You don't have to give me a promise to do it, but that's a good promise. I'm going to follow that through. God said it. I believe it. I can extend my life by what I do with my choices. Your choices can extend your life on the earth. By the way, if you say, Scott, man, I'm just struggling with this thing of healing. I'm struggling. I've got an issue in my body. And I need the Lord to help me. There's a great prayer in the New Testament where a man had a son who was demon-possessed. He was like an epileptic in today's world. That's what we'd call him. The kind of fits he would have. You know, he would fall down and have these seizures. And the father brought him to Jesus' disciples. They couldn't cure him. Had too much unbelief in him. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And he goes, Lord, I believe. Dear God, help my unbelief. Make that your prayer. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And when you pray that prayer sincerely, listen, the Lord will help you several ways. Number one, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You go to a church service where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are moving. Someone's got the gifts of healing, the gifts of working of miracles in their life operating. Listen, you can get your healing with your faith being on its lowest level. I mean, you'll get a faith, it's like a slip and fall atmosphere in that kind of arena. You know, there have been great, great healing evangelists for years. They have people come into these huge arenas, and these people are barely Christians, if that. And what happens? The gifts of the Spirit are released. You talk about help for their unbelief. It's happening all around. So sometimes you pray that prayer, Lord, help my unbelief. Man, God may send someone across your path, got the gift of healing. They got a great faith ready to release for you. Amen. Number two, your help will come through preachers. Romans 10, verse 13 and 14. Let's look at that real quick together. Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Again, that word saved in the Greek language is sozo. That word that we translated saved to the English language when we wrote our King James Bible was sozo, which means saved from sin, saved from sickness, saved from danger. It's saved in every kind of way you can imagine. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Praise the Lord. Down in verse 17 it says, so then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. One of the ways that God will help your unbelief is give you a preacher. Right here in your own hometown. I know a pretty decent one. He's working on his skills, but... And God will give you TV preachers and radio preachers and people that send you stuff in the mail and you're just about to throw it away as junk mail and you realize, oh, the Holy Ghost is talking to me through this. He wants to build my faith. You better read that thing. Amen. Because God will send you a preacher, someone to speak the word, and it'll build your faith for healing. Amen. So God gives us preachers. Another way that God gives us healing when we need help in our faith is he reveals the key to your sickness. Ever felt like you were just bound up with the things? Like, this situation has just not changed for years. What is the key? Well, there was a king in the Old Testament, David, in 2 Samuel 21. Turn there real quick together. I want you to look at this story. It's a fascinating story. 2 Samuel 21. And David was king over Israel, and they'd been having a famine for like 3 years. Can you imagine? I mean, we have one day of shortages on our grocery shelves, and we think our world's falling apart. Imagine 3 years of that. 2 Samuel 21, verse 1. 2 Samuel 21:1. Then there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. I like how the Holy Spirit writes that, year after year. I mean, in other words, it was looking like it was going to be nonstop. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. Have you inquired of the Lord? You got something you need healing for, and it's not, the breakthrough hasn't come. Have you inquired of the Lord? That's what David did. If there's one lesson to be learned from his whole life, is this guy called upon the Lord. Every time he had a question, he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said this, it's for Saul and for his bloody house. It's not British speaking. He's saying his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Do you know what that's saying there in verse 2? This guy became a warmonger. Saul became a zealous king. And because all these, heathen nations around him were the enemies of Israel, you read these stories about guys who go off to war and something snaps in them, man. And they just want to kill everybody around them. I mean, it's easy to imagine, isn't it? You get over there and the hatred, your buddy next to you gets slain in battle and you see his body dismembered and what have you. And you go, oh man, I'm after, your anger, your rage just goes off the charts. Well, that's what happened to King Saul. And so he slew these people called the Gibeonites. All right, that's what verse 2 is all about. He went nuts. Verse 3, wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? In other words, that you won't call us a cursed nation. Verse 4, the Gibeonites said to him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. In other words, he's saying, don't kill any of your own people, but here's what we want. And he said, what you shall say, that will I do for you. That's what David said to them. He said, I'll do anything you ask. They said in verse 5, the man that consumed us and devised evil against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us. We will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I'll give them. Well, you can finish reading the story on your own time. But basically, they took 7 sons or descendants of Saul, and they delivered these men to the Gibeonites, and they killed them. And they hung them out before the Lord. And guess what? The famine was broken. See, so sometimes we need a key from the Lord. Why is this sickness prevailing in my life? Be like David. Ask. Sometimes we just don't go to the Father and ask, you know. We think, oh man, God's mad at me. You know, the last thing you're going to do is approach God with confidence in your prayer life if you feel like the sickness is in your body because God's mad at you. God's not mad at you. He took his anger out at Calvary on his son so you could be free of that kind of wrath and penalty. Amen? Just ask. Ask. Inquire of the Lord and he'll give you the key. The Holy Spirit will answer. Now, finally, I know you thought when I mentioned that appetizer thing about my sermon a while ago, we'd go on forever. But anyways, here's another big point I want to make out to you with regard to healing today. Sometimes we come up against a battle that feels like we just got to fight and fight and fight and fight. And what often happens is we give up too soon. We either don't ask God, we don't inquire of the Lord, or we just flat out give up. Now look at Jeremiah 23. This is the word of the Lord for the week. Actually, I could have just read you this verse and gone home. Coughed in my bedroom. Jeremiah 23:29. But well, there's more. There's always more with a preacher. Jeremiah 23:29. It's a powerful, powerful verse. Get your markers and pens ready, please. Jeremiah 23:29. In the King James Version. Jeremiah 23:29 says this. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Wow, I love that. God describes his word to the prophet. He says, is not my word like a fire? What does fire do? Fire burns until everything around it is consumed. It doesn't quit. How many of you know, you had a fire break out in your house, in your backyard, whatever, or you worked around fires, or you're a fire bug like me, you like to sit around a fire pit in the cold nights. Fire will burn until you quit feeding it fuel. In other words, it won't quit. Do you see the picture? God's word doesn't quit until everything has been destroyed around it except for it. And sickness is sometimes like that. It fights. You know, the devil is a persistent cuss, as the old saying goes. But God says, my word is like a fire. It will burn until it has consumed everything else. It says it's like a hammer that breaks rock. Now, you take a sledgehammer to a rock, it's not going to crack the first time you whack it, unless you're really good with that hammer. What is that a picture of? You got to whack it and whack it and whack it and whack it. But eventually that rock will give. Those vibrations of that steel sledgehammer hitting that thing over and over, it'll start to do what? What's the word? Well, the initial crack, what do they call that?
Fracture.
Thank you. It will fracture. It will begin to fracture. The vibrations will go, and eventually something in that nature, in that rock, will fracture it. And when I want that fracture starts, the thing's starting to weaken. Amen? How many of you know, when you start to speak the word of God over your sickness, it feels like nothing's happening. It feels like you're hitting rocks. But somewhere along the way, a day or two, a week or two, a year or two, whatever it is, the length of time. Hey, we're living in a time-based world. Don't be bound by that. Keep applying the word. Keep applying the word. That fracture will come. And when that thing fractures, all of a sudden it starts to weaken. And praise God, you keep hitting it harder after that. You don't let up at all. Because God says, my word will be like a hammer that breaks the rock. Once that fracture starts going, it's over, baby. Andrew Womack went golfing one day with some buddies, and they were out in the sun too long. He came home with a bad sunburn, and this weird fleshy wound developed on his ear. Well, then before long, it started oozing. And friends would gather around him and say, you really need to get that taken care of. That looks like cancer. You should deal with that. He went 6 years speaking the word of God over that ear, and one day that thing healed up. Hey, if it takes 6 years, so be it. My word is like a hammer, says the Lord. Amen. Just keep whacking it. Just keep whacking it. Now, you may not be able to last 6 years with your condition. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. We believe in doctors around here. Amen. But we believe also that the word of God is like a hammer. That when you apply it again and again and again, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit too soon. Don't give up too early. You know, there's a story in 2 Kings 13. If you're taking notes, 2 Kings 13, 14. Elisha was on his deathbed, and the king of Israel came to him and he said, oh, my father, what are your final words to me? And he said this, he said, take an arrow and shoot it out the window. And so the king of Israel did so. And he said, now grab me some arrows. And he said, I want you to strike the ground because the Lord will strike your enemies in Syria. Well, he took that little handful of arrows and thought, this kind of feels a little awkward. But, okay. Struck the ground three times. And the prophet got ticked. He got mad at me. He got real mad. And he said, why'd you quit? You should have struck the ground five or six times and the Lord would have destroyed your enemies forever. So the picture is, don't quit. Sometimes we get 80% well, and 80% feels so blooming good because we've been sick for so long, and we settle for the 80. You have been redeemed for the 100.
Amen.
Don't quit till you got 100. I'm preaching to myself. Don't quit till you got 100. Because sometimes 80 feels so good, you think, oh, I'll just let up. This feels pretty good. I'm thank you, Lord. I'm not walking with as bad a limp as I did before. No, Jesus wants you whole. Many times when he touched people, you know, for example, the woman who had the issue of blood in her body 12 years. And when she touched him, she felt in her body she was healed. What was the initial response? Her body quit bleeding. Hey, praise God, after 12 years, that's a great thing. But how many of you know in that process, her body had been emaciated. When she came to Jesus, then Jesus said, daughter, your faith hath healed you. Now go in peace. I believe he gave her an added blessing. He renewed her body in that blessing, that final blessing. Listen, don't quit till you got 100%.
That's right.
What did we read in Exodus 23? God will heal you. He'll bless your food and water and heal you until the number of your days are fulfilled. Don't settle with 20% sickness in your body. Why? Because the enemy will come knocking again. You give me 20, will you give me 40? I'm serious. And there are people that will tell you, man, I got my healing and then I lost it. Why? Because the enemy is persistent. He's got nothing else to do. He knows his eternity is in hell. He's got nothing else to do. He doesn't play video games in his spare time. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. Actually, in different order. Steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll come knocking again. I see you've given up about 25% of your wholeness. Will you give me 30, 35, 40? You know, it's like an auctioneer, a bad auctioneer. Don't settle. Now, finally, I want to say this. Healing is not just a promised blessing. It's an offered gift. If it was a promise, you'd be waiting on the promisor to deliver. No, it's been given. Healing has been given in Christ. It's now for you and I to take it. Are you with me? It must be accepted. It must be taken. It's successful transfer is dependent not on him, but on us. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is where most Christians quit. We either have lack of knowledge or lack of persistence. God's given healing to all of us in Christ Jesus. Has he not? Let's go back to the original premise. Let's get a little theological study. Let's get student-like here in this thinking, Bob. If God gave us forgiveness of sins at Calvary, through what? The nail-pierced hands. Amen? The fact that Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood. At that moment, we believe he gave us forgiveness of sins. Did he not?
That's right.
Then did he not, when Jesus' back was being whipped, did he not at that moment give us healing for our body?
Amen. He did.
Both were given at the same time. It's been given. Well, when you got saved, you took salvation by faith.
Yes.
When you get healed, you take your healing by faith. It's the same process, same idea. Healing has been given, it must be taken. Finally, let me say this from Ephesians chapter 5, the great chapter about husbands and wives, how to love each other, how to get along in the home. And it uses this analogy and it says, Christ is the Savior of the body. Well, we know in the context there, he's talking about the body of Christ. But I love that phrase, don't you? Christ is the Savior of the body. Hey, we're the body of Christ, and we are, because we're connected to him, he saves us, not just spiritually, he saves our body. He is the Savior of our body. Amen? Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to close out with this verse. Isaiah 53, the great redemption, atonement chapter, I should say. Isaiah 53. Many of us have taken Jesus as our Savior, but I want to ask you today, this is a rhetorical question, you don't have to answer out loud. Have you taken Jesus as your physician? Have you taken Jesus as your healer?
Yes. Amen.
Maybe that's the next step for some of you, to say, you know what, I've always leaned on Dr. So-and-so. They've been in this town for 30 years, they're just a great doctor. That's great, that's wonderful. Praise God for great medical people. But who's your true, ultimate doctor? Who do you rely on ultimately for your healing, for your health? Is it Jesus? Look in Isaiah chapter 53. Look how he starts in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that just don't believe in healing. Or they got bad thinking. They believe God heals sometimes, but not all the time. They believe God heals you if you do everything right, but if you do something wrong, man, sickness is coming your way. But he says, Isaiah says, who's believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, who will see God's power? Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. Talking about Jesus in his human form. Verse 3 starts with the picture at the cross. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as our faces before him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, but surely, say surely.
Surely.
Yes, surely. He has borne our griefs. That word griefs in the original Hebrew languages should have been translated sickness. Some of your modern translations say that, don't they? Surely he has borne or carried our sickness. And he has carried our sorrows. That word sorrows in the original Hebrew language was pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. In other words, he's saying, we looked at him at the cross, and we thought he was being punished by God. But God was letting it happen so that we could be free. Amen. That's the good news. You should soak on this chapter. If you're struggling with sickness in your body of any kind, Isaiah 53 ought to be your bread and butter 3 times a day. You take medicine 3 times a day. Take the word 3 times a day. Amen. Verse 6. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. But he did not open his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken away from prison and from judgment. And who can declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, or his offspring, that's you and I. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's you and I, folks. He has borne our iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. That's you and I. Jesus divides all the spoils of Calvary with you and I. Amen. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, listen, as I said earlier, if God is willing to forgive your sin, how much more is he willing to heal your body? Amen. Stand together with me. We're going to reach out to him by faith right there where you're seated. I'm not going to lay hands on you today as we did last week. They're a little different. But I want you to, in response to the words of Isaiah 53, to take Jesus as your healer. Take Jesus as the great physician in your life today. Amen. Would you just bow your head with me today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are our healer, Jesus. And we're understanding more and more about this full covenant package that you give us. Forgiveness of our sins. Healing for our bodies. We take it, Lord, today by faith. The healing that you provided at Calvary. We see it in the atonement. You wanted the whole package, Lord. You wanted us. You bought us. And in the process, you healed us. Thank you, Lord. We believe. Just lift your hands to heaven and say, I believe. Jesus bore my sickness. Just as he bore my sin. I believe. Jesus healed my body. Just as he forgave me. I take Jesus. Now in your heart, look at him eye to eye and see the compassion. See the love. See the sacrifice. Folks, let him not pour it out in vain. Let it not be wasted on you. You know, there are many blessings you cannot take personally for yourself. This is one. But today is your opportunity to look Jesus in the face and say, Jesus, I take you as my healer. I take you as my doctor. I take you as my great physician. You forgave all my sins. You heal all my diseases. Lord, we receive you today as that, the great physician. Oh, you are great, Jesus. And we give you our lives. We believe your promise, Lord, that until our dying breath, you will heal us over and over again when we face sickness and disease so that we can live out the full number of our days according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name in Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a wonderful, healed, whole day in Jesus. And we'll see you next week for Dr. Paula Burt.